Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you again to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Once again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you found 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read verse number 1. And it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So we see here that the subject matter is spiritual gifts. And the Apostle Paul is telling us that our Heavenly Father does not want us to be ignorant. Again, it is not our Lord who wants us to be ignorant regarding the things of the Holy Spirit. Ignorance means not to know through a lack of information or intelligence. But God wants us informed, knowledgeable, and willing to explore the promises of truth that only His Word has for us, His children, the body of Christ, and the world, if the world would receive it. Amen? Now, please go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 to 3. And it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now let's stop right there. And we see right now in the word that grace and peace will be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. So God wants knowledge to be multiplied to us. Now let's continue. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by grace and virtue. So God, again, wants us to have all knowledge that pertains to life and godliness. Now, we're teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to make something perfectly clear about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is not the third person of the Trinity. You will not find Trinity nowhere in the Bible. Now, please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's see what you're really going to see in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. And it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And let's read verse number 9. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. So the proper term is Godhead. And I mention this because we have to say what is correct. Because the Bible is being attacked, and if there's anything in it that Satan could use, it's God's word. So we're going to use the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is our helper, our comforter, and the spirit of truth. He is our helper, someone who comes along aside us and assists us. He is not here to do the work for us, but to assist us in our assignments. Amen. Now, for the past few weeks, we have been teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they consist of 9 gifts divided into 3 categories. Again, there are 9 gifts divided into 3 categories. There are 3 that say something, and they're known as the vocal gifts. And they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Again, the 3 that say something are the vocal gifts, and they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Then there are 3 that do something. They're known as the power gifts, and they are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Once again, the 3 that do something, the power gifts are faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And finally, the 3 that reveal something, known as the gifts of revelation, they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Once again, the 3 that reveal something, known as the gifts of revelation, they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. Amen. Now, all these gifts are spiritually manifestations of the Holy Spirit, distributing each one individually as He, the Holy Spirit, wills. These gifts are not owned by us. They are distributed only as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, our last time together, we were discussing our second category of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which were the power gifts. And again, they are faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Now, we were looking at a faith, special faith in the life of Daniel during the reign of King Darius, and how he was thrown in the lion's den because he refused to bow down and worship and pray to no other person except King Darius for 30 days. But we see how the Holy Spirit sent an angel and closed the mouths of those lions, and Daniel was not harmed, not one bit. Not only was he saved from the lions, but Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, this was the gift of faith in operation for personal protection in Daniel's life. And that same protection God has provided for us also. When the word tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that's that special protection that I'm speaking about. Then we looked at the gift of faith for raising the dead. And we learned that the gifts of the Spirit often operate together. Amen. In the case of raising the dead, three gifts operate together. And those gifts are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. This is one reason we don't see many people raised from the dead. Some Christians may have one or more of these gifts in operation in their lives, but not too many have all of them in operation. Now, as we learned, Smith Wigglesworth, an evangelist of the 20th century, was such a man of God that the gifts of special faith, working the miracles, and the gifts of healings operated together through him for the work God assigned in him to do. Amen. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality or takes a bribe." Now, before I discuss this particular scripture, when you see the name Lord, L-O-R-D, in complete capitalizations, it conveys the proper name or title for God as complete creator and ever-present one, the personal name of Israel's God, Jehovah. Amen. So I just want to get that clear. When you see the name Lord in all capital letters, it conveys the proper name or title for God as complete creator and ever-present one, the personal name of Israel's God, Jehovah. Now, we see in Deuteronomy 10:17 that God shows no partiality and takes no bribe. Now, I'm going somewhere with this in regards to the gifts of faith in terms of raising the dead and Smith Wigglesworth. Now, before I comment on this, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Let me repeat that. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues or languages, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I wanted to bring this up because of what Smith Wigglesworth did. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. So Wigglesworth was a mighty man of God, and he believed the word of God. And the Holy Spirit used him in mighty manifestations of the word of God. And we see, and it's been recorded, that he raised 14 people from the dead. But the scripture tells us that God shows no partiality. And it also tells us in Mark that he who believes, he says, these signs will follow them. So if you believe, then these signs will follow you. Amen. Because God is not a respecter of persons. So what God does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another. So the Holy Spirit, if he wills, could move through you also in this area of God's ministry. But in Mark 16, most people stop at verse number 18. But I think it's the end of the message. And let us continue with verse number 19 and 20, because that's the reality of what Jesus says. So verse number 19 says, it says, so when after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And he's now seating there, making intercessions for us. But here's verse number 20. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So the disciples, they went out and they confirmed the word of God with these same signs. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So that same spiritual gift that Smith Wigglesworth had, you can have in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at the gifts of working of miracles. The gifts of working of miracles. Now let's get on one accord regarding the meaning of miracles, because words can mean different things to different people. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accompanying order through the Spirit of God. Amen. Now let me repeat that. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order through the Spirit of God. As with many words in the English language, when we use the word miracle, it means one thing generally speaking, but when used specifically, it means something else. Let me repeat that, because I'm going to go somewhere in my teaching in regards to that. With as many words in the English language, when we use the word miracle, it means one thing generally speaking, but when used specifically, it means something else. Sometimes we use the word miracle as a figure of speech. We talk about miracle drugs. Some people even talk about miracle waters and miracle detergents. When Dr. Michelle and I were in Africa on our missions assignment, we seen some of the most beautiful sunrise and sunsets that the eye could see. They might have been described as a miracle to some. You might look at a beautiful rose flower garden filled with glorious colors of flowers, and the fragrance of the flowers ascending into the air and the heavens, and you say, that is a miracle of nature. Well, none of these things are miracles specifically speaking, but generally speaking, they are. In the magnificent sunrise and sunset, the sun is doing exactly what it ought to do according to the laws of nature. You will never see the sun rise in the south and set in the north. You will never see that. It does exactly what it was designed to do according to the laws of nature. The rose was doing exactly what it was created to do according to the laws of nature. Spiritually speaking, all the gifts of the Spirit is miraculously. They are supernatural. In the general use of the word miracle, all gifts of the Spirit are miracles. Amen. All gifts of the Spirit are miracles. But specifically speaking, they are not. The working of miracles then as a specific act, such as Moses dividing the Red Sea by lifting up his rod and stretching out his hand over the sea and dividing it, was actually a working of a miracle, an intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Because seas do not open up, and then the bottom of the sea is dry land. That doesn't happen. That was a miracle. Now let's read Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and beginning with verse number 8 to 31. And maybe this will give us some insight in terms of this miracle that Moses performed. And it says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, besides Phi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than what we would die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Because the people were very afraid. So Moses told them, do not be afraid. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. You know what? The clock on the wall is telling me that I'm about out of time. But I want you to join us next week, where I will continue this teaching on the gifts of the miracles and how Pharaoh, lost his life messing with God and Moses. But until then, please remember these words from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.